date is Thursday, May 3rd. The time is 8:35. We're on time again. And the members present are Representative Phillips, Representative Miller, Juno, Representative Lisker. Members absent are Hayes, Barnes, and Fisher. We only have one thing on the calendar today, and that's a committee substitute for House Bill 158. And the prime sponsor on the amendments is with us, Mike Miller. There'll probably be some questions to the committee on the makeup of the rules change as opposed to the original CRA bill, but don't let that throw you. It's just they've changed their policy and they rewrote the bill here, and it is basically the same other than some of the amendments that Representative Miller wishes to come forth with. Also, we have Mr. Russ Josephson of Legislative Legal Service available to testify. I will entertain a motion to adopt the committed substitute so that we can get to work.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that the committee substitute is prepared by House legal staff and be accepted as a substitute for it.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, so moved. We are now open for discussion. I think you all have in your packet the committee substitute, do you not? Okay, who's the first member to testify? Or
Mr. Chairman, I'll just mention, if I may, that these amendments are just absolutely purely technical, that they don't do anything different from what the original CRA bill did, and that the judiciary passed out, I think, but I believe with all due passes, but in any case, passed out. I guess maybe it wasn't all of it. And the length of the committee substitute is due to the fact that there's a difference, a change in the format policy of the drafting attorneys, just to provide more information so that members know. Instead of just putting the one paragraph there where the change occurs, they're putting the whole larger section there so that you can see what that change is in relation to the rest of the bill. But despite the fact it's a lot more pages, there's no substantive difference at all. The need for the change grew out of a very minor drafting error that Mr. Joseph can explain if you wish him to. But we're adding A and or B. Really significant change, A or B, as opposed in the CRA substitute to put in, I think it just said A1, and that's just a drafting error, but it's very important. It had to be interpreted. With that explanation, Mr. Chairman, if members want to go deeply into the bill, what it does, of course, it increases from 1,500 to 2,000 the population requirement for obtaining a liquor license. And if anybody wants to get into the substance of the bill, I'll be glad to do it, but I have the impression that people are all that interested in these substances, or at least they're just a technical thing.
Well, I believe that it does make a real change in liquor licenses as far as the number of people required.
Oh, yes, the bill itself is a substantive change, yeah. But I didn't know that this committee wanted to deal with the substantive change. Yes, the bill doubles the amount of population a community has to have, for instance, in order to have more liquor licenses. Right now, you're allowed one, in general terms, one liquor license of the bar or liquor store type for over 1,500 people. This raises it to 3,000, which means in most communities, new liquor licenses won't be offered until they reach that new threshold. It'll probably be several years before new liquor licenses are offered, which I hasten to say right up front makes the bill very attractive to liquor dealers who currently hold the license, because it makes their licenses much more valuable. It also makes the situation much more attractive to the people who are into moderation in drinking and moderation in availability of alcohol for consumption. This certainly is not going to make it tough to find a bottle of booze in Alaska or a bar. We've already got probably the highest.
Eight bars and eight churches.
Yeah. And everybody that currently has a license is grandfathered in, so there will not be any reduction in license. But it's just that no new ones. So therefore, the effect of this bill won't be felt for several years. But right now, new licenses are offered every time a community reaches that new threshold. An additional 1,500 people, they get an additional license entitlement.
What happens if you move a license?
That's a little bit complicated, but if you move it very far, you probably can in this building. You probably have to sell your license and your establishment where it sits. For the most part, that's not going to be universally true. If you haven't changed your population density pattern, you could probably move it, but you're not going to be able to move it very far. You couldn't have a license on South Franklin and move it out to the valley, probably, and that just wouldn't be possible because you've changed your population density. You've changed your geography and population density and everything else, and the circles that are drawn around them. So it's probably fairly safe to say that under most circumstances, if a person wanted to sell a license, they would probably have to sell the establishment or lease out the establishment to the new buyer. I'd want to be up front with that. I think everybody realizes that. There's no problem with it.
Let the record reflect that Representative Barnes and Speaker Hayes have joined us. Are there questions from other members of the committee? Is there anyone that wishes to testify?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Identify yourself.
Thank you. I'll just come right to the table here with
thank you.
My cartoon and pen. Chairman, I'm here to speak not for or against this.
What's your name, please?
My name is Representative Jerry Ward. I represent District 13.
Thank you.
That's in Anchorage, Alaska. That's the one that got most of the capital and operating budget put in that district. Mr. Chairman and committee, as I understand it, this will be increasing the liquor license population amounts from 1,500 to 3,000. I, for right now, for a time being, own an interest in a liquor license, and I have to say that what this is going to do is going to increase the value of my liquor license, and I don't necessarily think that's correct, and that we ought to, I don't know if it's wrong, but that's what the effect of this bill is going to do. It's going to increase the value of liquor licenses, and I want to at least that's what it's going to do, and I don't think that's right. I don't particularly care for alcohol, and I'm trying to get rid of mine right now, but this is in fact going to benefit the liquor license owners and make them more valuable. And I don't know how to regulate what the value is, but they're ridiculous now. They're worth a couple hundred thousand dollars for transferable ones, and I think what this bill is going to do is going to increase them to probably worth $500,000. I really do, and I think that's what we're doing, and it's a little bothersome to me for that to be happening. I just want to say that and make sure that I don't know if you spoke about that already.
I asked that question.
But that's in fact what it's going to do is increase the value of liquor license tremendously, just like limited entry, which hasn't worked all that swift either, by the way. And I sold my limited entry permit. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Ward. Is there anyone that wishes to?
Okay. I can just respond. I just agree 100%. That's exactly what the effect is going to have on the license holders. I rack my brain. I don't know how to get around it. I don't know how to regulate it. What you have to do is simply choose what are the lesser of the evils. If you regard that as an evil, you have to just, what's the lesser of the evils? Whether to limit the number of licenses, which this bill does, or allow the status quo to continue in existence. And my choice was to limit the number of licenses. But in so doing, you're exactly right. So we've got a bunch of people that are all for this bill for perhaps the wrong reasons, but nevertheless, it's a fact that should be recognized.
I drafted similar legislation.
Do you want to stay at the table and engage?
Yes, I do. And debate here? Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. I drafted an exactly similar bill last year through Legislative Affairs, only $2,500. And then after I got the bill back, I got to thinking about it. What I was doing is I was creating a market where my permit or business entity was going to be worth more money. That ain't right, you know. So I didn't go forward with it. And no, there is no answer. There's no answer because at $1,500, we've already created it. That's all.
Thank you, Representative Ward. Let the record reflect that Representative Tischer has joined the party. Is there anyone from the audience that wishes to testify on this committee substitute? There'll be a short pause.
Mr. Chairman, could I just
go ahead,
move
Representative
to move the bill out for individual recommendations?
Is there any objection? Hearing none, I'll move.
Appreciate the splendid cooperation.
Did you make me rich?
First in.